Douglas Crook, Wednesday, August 25th, 2010.
In our study in the book of Proverbs, we are ready to consider the passage that's found in the third chapter of Proverbs, verses 13 to 15. This passage, the truths that are related here is somewhat of an overlapping of a lesson I gave Sunday morning several weeks ago on happiness. And some of the things, they will certainly be a review, but there's enough new information here that I'm going to go ahead and give the lesson as I've prepared it. I think there are things that we do need to be reminded of, and plus there's some other benefits that are listed here that we didn't have time to consider in our Sunday morning lesson. So let's read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 15 to begin this evening. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is, that is wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. The wisdom that comes from God and from His Word is the most valuable possession that a man or woman can own. An understanding of the Word of God and an application of that Word to your life. Nothing is more valuable to you than that. Let's read a couple more statements in Scriptures that emphasize this, just so we know that this is a common statement in the Word of God, a common truth. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We'll remind ourselves why wisdom is better than material wealth, why it's more valuable, and therefore should be more passionately pursued than people have passion to pursue material wealth. We have something available to us that every child of God can possess, and it's far more profitable. So we should desire it. We should value it. We should seek it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verses 10 through 12. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Seems like a smart enough statement, but how often do we see this? He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity, emptiness. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. Taxes may be able to paraphrase in there, and as well as other things, inflation and deflation and all the other things. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. Interesting thoughts, and we see them to be true over and over in the lives of so many who pursue wealth above everything else. Proverbs chapter 8. There are a number of Proverbs. We'll read two passages here in the 8th chapter. Just to remind us of how valuable knowledge and application of the Word of God is. Wisdom. Receive, this is Proverbs 8 verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Jump down to verse 19 of this 8th chapter. My fruit, that is wisdom's fruit, is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. So pretty well established in these verses that wisdom is of more valuable than material wealth. And the reason is simply this. As we read in our opening text, money cannot buy happiness. True wisdom will lead to happiness in life. As we had in our lesson on happiness, the word that's translated happy in this passage in Proverbs 3, it does shed light on what it means to truly be happy, what leads to happiness. It literally means to be straight or level or right. To be straight, level, or right. Those who are wise are going to be straight, level, and right. It also figuratively means to go forward. In other words, genuine, real progress. It means to be honest. It means to be proper. So those that are wise are going to go forward in life and be straight and level. So happiness is simply this. It is to function in the way that God, your Creator, intended you to function. That's the value of knowing and applying the Word of God to your life. It is the instruction of the one who made you, who knows what you need to be right in life, to be level, to truly be successful and progress in life. Now, as we go back to Proverbs 3 and we continue in verses 16 to 18, that when you are truly right with God, because you're wise, because you're walking in wisdom, living a life that's governed by the instruction of the Word of God, that instruction will make your attitude, your actions, your thoughts right, level. You will be functioning as God intended you to function. It will lead to a number of blessings in life. And here in verses 16 to 18 are listed some of the benefits of wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is, and all of this is a definition, the benefits of being wise, of wisdom. She, wisdom, is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Straight, level. They are functioning as their Creator intended them to function. Wise living, as we have found throughout this proverb, book of Proverbs, and we'll continue, wise living is conducive to a happy, long life. It produces eternal riches. As we've already seen, it is conducive to financial soundness, even in this life. But the real wealth that is gained through wisdom is eternal wealth and eternal life. When you live wisely, the result is pleasantness. Sin results in death. Wisdom, loving obedience by faith in the grace of God, is a pleasant way of life. Romans chapter 12, we read this often, but to remind ourselves, this is what we're talking about. It is to know the will of God, to be wise, and to enjoy the pleasant results of wisdom, is simply to know the will of God and to do it. And the two go hand in hand. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul, the apostle of this church age, agrees with Proverbs. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you yield your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that's a familiar New Testament passage for most of us, but let's see how that fits with our study in Proverbs. What is it that we are to be conformed to? Change that phrase again. What is it that we are not to conform to? We are not to conform to the foolish thinking of the world that is lost in sin. Do not be conformed to this world. It's foolishness the way that they think, because they're out of balance. They're unlevel. They are not functioning as God intended for them to function. They are separated from God. They are dead to God. Don't conform your your life, your thinking, your attitude, your actions to the world. But be transformed. By what? By the wisdom of knowing the will of God. And that will of God, as described by the Apostle Paul, agrees again with Proverbs. It is good, that word in the Greek means beneficial. To live in the will of God, it's beneficial to you. How so many of God's people get deceived that doing the will of God is a burden and that God is just a bully who wants to make me miserable by telling me how to live my life. How many of God's people have that mentality, even if they don't say it so bluntly? Well, I don't want to know what the Bible says. Well, I know what it says, but I don't care. The will of God is beneficial to you, both now and in eternity. It is acceptable. The word means pleasing. That's what Proverbs said. It is pleasantness. The will of God is pleasant. It is not a burden. And it is perfect. That means that it's complete. Everything you need for this life and for eternity to have God's best, you'll only find in His will. Nowhere else. Do you see why it is so valuable for us to study the Word of God? Why it's so valuable for us to understand its principles and then to apply it? Do you see why we should have such a hunger? Do you know certain people that are really wanting to get rich and have a certain lifestyle, and they make a lot of effort and sacrifice to chase that lifestyle? They do that for money that can never make them happy. They do that for position and material possessions that will never make them happy, even if they get it. But you and I have the opportunity to know the will of God. And we have been given everything. We've been given the Word of God. We've been given the Holy Spirit that will teach us the will of God and then will enable us to do it. And yet, even with all of this incentive and all of these helps, most of God's people have no value. They place little value on the Word of God. You know why? Well, they don't come to Bible study. They don't come to meeting. They don't come to Sunday school. They don't come to things that will lead them deeper and deeper into the Word of God. They don't study the Word on their own. Why? They don't value the wealth of the will of God. It's the only thing that will make you happy in life. This is why we should put such an emphasis on teaching the Word of God. Those that ignore the Word of God and do not value it with this sense of value that we're talking about, they're like a car that you buy brand new, but you never maintain it. You never put oil in it. You never rotate the tires. You never do the things that you need to do. After a while, that car will not function as it was intended to function, and it will be of no use to you or anyone else because it's not functioning as it was intended to function because there was neglect involved. The same is true with so many Christians. They wonder why they're miserable. They wonder why their life is so messed up. Well, you did not follow the loving, gracious, wise instruction of the Word of God for your life, for your choices, for your attitude, for your actions. And therefore, you're not going to function as you need to function, as God intended for you to function. John 17. Jesus wants His people to be happy. He wants His sheep to be satisfied and enjoy peace and joy. And He supplied the source of that happiness, of that joy. And He spoke of it in John 17, verses 13 and 14. John 17, verse 13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world. Why does he speak them? That they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them, Father, your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Jesus is saying here that he came to reveal God and his will and his purpose to man. And he spoke these things. He revealed God and his will in order that those who believe might have their joy, the very joy of the Creator, fulfilled in them. He has spoken the word that God intended for him to speak in order that we might be happy, straight, level, right. That's why wisdom, knowing and obeying the will of God, is of such great value. Nothing in this world can purchase that kind of peace and pleasantness. Let's consider the next passage in Proverbs 3 that emphasizes what we've already considered, but makes it pretty clear what kind of wisdom and the source of wisdom that we're talking about. This is not the kind of wisdom or education the world can give you. There's only one place to get this wisdom that will make you happy. Proverbs 3, verses 19 and 20. Proverbs 3, 19. The Lord, by wisdom, this wisdom that we're talking about, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. The very wisdom that has been graciously and generously offered to you and to me is the same wisdom that created everything from nothing. Again, do you see the value of what we're talking about? People get excited about a lot of things. I like new things. I like technology. I like computers. I like all of those things. And as Lord willing, Sunday, we're going to kind of talk about that, finding pleasure in things that God allows us and blesses us with. Those things are good, and I enjoy them. But saints, we need to get excited about the Word of God. And by excited, I don't just mean an emotional demonstration. I mean a zeal for the things of God. We go through so many dry times as individuals, as a local assembly, the body of Christ in general. There are times of revival, and there are times of real dryness and falling away. Saints, we need a zeal for the things of God. To know the will of God and to be zealous for the Word of God. Many times we are not happy as individuals and even as a local assembly, generally characterized when that zeal drops off for the Word of God. Because only the will of God, the wisdom of God that created the heavens and the earth and has been revealed to us can make you happy and satisfied. If you're not satisfied with the Word, you're not going to be satisfied with anything. It really is that simple. When we read the Word of God or when we hear it proclaimed, we need to understand that this is the Word of the all-wise Creator of heaven and earth. When you look at the vastness of the creation, whether you're looking at the mountains or whether you're looking down at the little world of microbes, just how vast and intricate and detailed this creation is and how it all works and functions together. This is the same one who says, I want you to know how I want you to live your life. Don't you think that this all powerful, all-wise creator knows how to run your life better than you do? You're a fool if you do not understand that. And many times God's people are foolish. Jeremiah 10, when I'm tempted to think that I know what's best for my life and how to run my life and my ministry and my family and my affairs, when I'm so foolish, I'm glad for the Holy Spirit that reminds me just how small and insignificant I really am and how infinite God is. It humbles me enough to pay attention to what He's telling me in His Word. You're not so smart, Doug, but I've got the wisdom you need for you to be happy. Listen and enjoy the benefits of wisdom. Jeremiah 10, verses 23 and 24. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps any more than it is for a car to take care of itself. It's just not in us. O Lord, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. What a valuable blessing it is for us as the children of God to be led in to the purposes of the God who created everything from nothing. And He says, I'm going to let you in on some secrets so that you might be right, you might be straight, you might be happy. It's sad when so many of God's people spend so much time and so much energy seeking to amass possessions, make a living, while at the same time ignoring their own spiritual condition. This is one of the saddest things as a pastor that I cry out to the Lord about is, Lord, what can I say? What can I do to wake people up? They're putting all this time and energy in these things. And the things in and of themselves may not be sin. It may not be wrong in and of themselves. There's nothing sinful about silver or gold or rubies. But when that's where you place your energy and your value, instead of in your spiritual life, which has eternal dividends, you don't understand what it means to be happy. The next passage in Proverbs 3, verses 21 to 26, we see another benefit of living wisely, of knowing the will of God and doing the will of God. Proverbs 3, 21. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Not enough just to know it. We need to keep it, apply it. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. When we learn to live wisely by living a life of godliness, godly obedience to the revealed will of God, it will not only produce a life of happiness and peace, but it will also give you confidence to face all of the uncertainties of life. And once again, nothing else can do that. You cannot buy this kind of confidence with stocks and bonds, with bank accounts. This confidence comes only from living a life of wisdom. This confidence many times is misunderstood as arrogance by others. But there is a big difference, an enormous difference between arrogance and confidence that comes from living wisely. Arrogance has as its focus self. I can handle this. I know how to do this. I have this amount of money. I have this amount of education. I have this amount of time. That's arrogance, because it's all about self. But godly confidence has God and His ways as the foundation of the boldness. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I need to do or how I'm going to do it, but I know this: God's ways are best ways. And so I'm going to walk in His ways, and I'll leave the rest to Him. That's godly confidence. It places God as your focus. We all know Romans 8:28. And we know, well, that sounds arrogant. And we know that all things, that just sounds like you're boasting. Well, we are, but not in ourselves. We know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's confidence. How do I know that? Can I explain to you how this situation, difficult and unpleasant as it is, how it's going to work for my good? No, I can't explain that to you. All I know is, as long as I continue to live according to the wisdom of the revealed will of God, He's going to see to it that it works for my eternal good. That's it. That's my confidence. I rest in it. You can't buy that confidence. You can't buy that assurance. Philippians 4:13, you all know that one as well. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, Paul, you're just boasting again. No. When we walk in God's ways, we know that even when we can't see how, that obedience to God and His ways will prove itself to be the best possible life to live. And we rest in that. Proverbs 28 and verse 1 talks about this boldness. We'll go ahead and read that while we're on the subject. Proverbs 28 verse 1. So many Christians live their life in constant anxiety and fear about the unknown. And from the human standpoint, if I didn't have these promises, if I did not value the wisdom of God as I do because of how the Holy Spirit has it impressed it upon me, if I didn't value the Word of God like I do, I would be a basket case, because that is my makeup. I think all of us to a certain extent, but I'm a nervous person. As a kid, anytime there was a tornado, a storm, I had an upset stomach, I was throwing up. Anytime that there was a fight among the family, I was a basket case. I'm just a nervous person. But by the grace of God, I've learned the reality of this kind of confidence. If you do not know what this boldness, if your life is characterized by constant fear and anxiety of the unknown, and this is at any age. Children, there are a lot of things that make you afraid, and they're real to you. Don't let fear and anxiety characterize you. You can be bold and have confidence to face whatever you're afraid of. And then as you go up the age ladder, teenagers, there are a lot of things that you're afraid of. College age, after college, so many, you know, where am I going to work? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to be able to afford a house? All of the things. And then as you get older, the things that cause you anxiety, do they ever stop? Now that you're older, some of you, there's nothing to worry about anymore, is it? Now, it just seemed like there's always something new to worry about. Proverbs 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. How come? Because we know the wise instruction of God and we're going to walk in it, and so we know that He's going to take care of everything else. All things work together for good. I can do all things, even the unpleasant, unwanted things. I can do that too. Why? Because God's ways are best. His wisdom will make my life straight. I will be happy, not only now, but in eternity. Hebrews 13, for a New Testament witness to this same truth. The wise living leads to confidence and boldness. Now remember, you cannot have this confidence. You cannot enjoy this benefit unless you live a life of godliness, of wisdom. If you want to live a life of carnality and disobedience and do whatever you want to do, you can forget about this kind of confidence. This is only a benefit of wise living. If you want to live like a fool, you're going to experience the consequences of foolishness. It is that simple. God's people, they like to read about all these blessings of God, but they don't put it in the proper context. Well, God's going to bless me because I'm His child. I'm going to have all these benefits because I'm His child. These are benefits of wise living. Obedience that comes from faith. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. You see, there's still a connection to our thought. Wealth doesn't make you happy, so don't look for your happiness there. For He Himself, God Himself, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what can man do to me? Do you see the boldness that's promised in Proverbs? The Lord said, I'll be your confidence. You walk in my ways that I reveal to you as wise and good and right, you'll be happy. You'll have confidence to know that even when things look bad and rough, you're on the right path. The next passage in Proverbs 3, I think we'll go ahead and stop there. There's some specific things in this last passage that are listed here that we begin to see. Now, we've talked in pretty general terms thus far about being wise and enjoying the benefits. Now, as we get further into Proverbs and in this last passage, beginning at verse 27 of Proverbs 3, we're going to be given some specific things that are specific examples of being wise. So now we can take it out of the realm of theory and say, okay, this is what it means. Okay, you keep talking about being wise and applying the wisdom. What does it mean? Well, now we're going to begin to see some specific areas where this wisdom needs to manifest itself in choices, relationships, specifically in this passage, relationships with one another. You're going to be wise? You can't be wise to yourself. If you're truly wise, it'll show up in your relationship with others. So, Lord willing, next week we'll look at that passage, but look ahead at it and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to prepare your heart. Well, let's stand. We'll be dismissed.